We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Sports fans, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino, joined by Kevin and Darren. Today is Saturday, May 31st. This is episode 173. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook. You know how to get us. You know where to get us. Join our pages. Give us a shout out. We'd love to hear from you. This is the New York Knicks eulogy. 52 years and still counting. Knicks lose to the Pacers tonight in game 6, 125-108. Kev, you want to start?
Well, as we were texting each other, what, and I'll clean it up. What an effing brutal second half, especially.
It was brutal.
It was tough to watch. You know, the first half, they, despite the bad shooting from Brunson and Towns, you felt like they were playing at a Knicks pace. They were only down 4 at halftime. The score was around, was in the 50s or low 50s. And you felt like the Knicks had a chance, and they came out. The Pacers all of a sudden started hitting some threes. Thomas Bryant got red hot. You know, he hit 3 threes in the first 6 minutes of the third quarter. Too many wide open threes for the Pacers. Knicks made one little run there, 7-0, to try to get somewhat close, and then the Pacers responded a little bit later with a 9-0 run. And the fourth quarter, the Knicks just had no defense, no answers. It was just tough to watch. The offense struggled to get into any sort of rhythm. And, you know, the season's over.
58-54 at the half, Kev.
Yep.
And by the end of the third, they were down 15.
Yep.
It's just crazy. Darren?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the pace of the game is always going to be quicker when we're playing Indiana.
Yes. But
the thing about it is that when they're not hitting their shots early, and what happened was they were picking them up full court. So Bridges is picking up Halliburton, all right? Halliburton's in no rhythm. Nembhard has lost confidence until late in the game he started to hit a couple of shots. You know, Siakam was the only guy hitting.
Yeah.
And he's the only guy in the whole team that hits a contested shot. Nobody else hits a contested shot on this team. Nesmith doesn't. None of them do. But the problem is that the Knicks try these weak-ass double teams at the top. They never get to anybody. Every now and then they get a turnover. Don't get me wrong, but they leave guys wide open for threes all over the place. And Towns, like on Halliburton's first three, he's out on him. Halliburton makes it like he's going to drive. Towns falls all the way back. Halliburton just stands there, sets with nobody on him, buries the three, and Towns finally coming out. And he just doesn't have a clue defensively. And Brunson's getting mugged all the way up and down the court. And listen, I'm not talking about the foul calls and stuff like that, but the Knicks don't do anything to help them. They can't get inbounds. They can't inbounds the ball. How many times does it seem like it's so close that they're going to that the ball's going to get knocked out of bounds, or they're going to step out of bounds when they're catching it? They have to be so close. They don't set picks. They don't set screens for anybody. And they don't have enough guys that can hit open threes.
No.
So they can't match. They need to be sloppy. Sorry, Kev.
Game five, it felt like they – did do a better job of getting other guys to help bring up the ball. They were doing a good job of not having Brunson just set up at the top and, you know, had him coming off screens. And then Tibbs went back to what he did all year and just said, all right, Jalen, you're bringing the ball up, and we're going to set up the high pick and roll every freaking time down the court. And there's no – I don't know what happened between game five and game six with the offensive sets.
Part of that is you're 100% right, and part of it is when you go 9 for 32 from three, And, you know, and Brunson really not a factor, and Towns wasn't close on any of them.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you sit there and you look at the way they missed, what was it, 5 free throws in the second half in big spots when the game was still in doubt. They're missing, Cat's missing foul shots, Hart missed a foul shot.
I felt like they were 1 for 2 every time.
And it can't happen.
17 turnovers. I mean, you know, we commented on this the last time. You know, it's these missed shots. The missed shots just kill them. They whoever it is, Hart drives in, and he beats the guy, and he puts the shot up, and it's, you know, he's 4 feet away from the rim, and he misses. And, you know, or they finally get a guy open in the corner, they throw it to him, and it's another missed three, and it's another missed three. And you can't keep doing that if you're going to win these games. I mean, 9 for 32 from 3-point is not going to win. It's not going to win, especially against this team where the Pacers just are constantly playing up-tempo. They're constantly, you know, dishing the ball as quick as they can. You know, I mean, there were 5 plays in the second half where the Knicks scored 2, and then it's a long pass. No one's back on defense, and it's a slam. It's a 2-point, you know, little finger roll. And it's like, okay, so you scored, you gave up the basket, and you're back to, you know, no, even at that point. It's just it's really bad.
They just couldn't get back on D. It looked like the only guy that played with any kind of real extreme effort all night was Anunoby. Seemed like the one guy that stood out. Obviously Robinson, but after the first quarter and that little run he had early on, they really didn't use him.
Yeah.
They didn't go back to the same things. And it was, you know, didn't see McBride much, you know, until like maybe early fourth or late third. You know, it just seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed like there was – I'm not saying Bridges wasn't trying out there. He was trying to guard Halliburton, give him the best he can. He was getting picked every time. But, you know, it just seemed like Anunoby was the only guy that came to play like – no, this is game. This is we lose, we go home. I didn't see it from Towns. He was missing every shot early.
And Darren, Towns and Brunson did not shoot well. I mean, Towns is 8 for 19. Brunson was 8 for 18.
Yeah.
You know, they had 22 points and 19 points respectively, but that's not getting the job done. Nope. You know, one of them has got to score 30 on this team, and the other can't shoot 8 for 18. It just can't happen. That's a recipe for them not winning. That's what that is.
Yeah, and I also look at, like, Josh Hart only got 21 minutes tonight, and he's kind of like a glue kind of guy. I mean, listen, he didn't hit any shots. I understand why he's not getting a ton of minutes, but his defense and his rebounding are things that spark this team a little bit sometimes. And they just basically took those minutes away from him tonight. 21. Remember last year, you couldn't sit the guy down. And now this year it's 21. Well, and again, like I said the other night, there's nobody with fire on this team right now. They just don't seem to have anyone outside of Shamit, so I don't say it wrong, with the emotion that you want to see. I mean, Brunson's doing everything he can, but he's got to work so freaking hard.
Well, remember, the decline in the Hart minutes goes to the fact that they started – starting Robinson the last, you know, 2-3 games, and that led to the decrease in the minutes for Hart. But you're right,
but not down to 21.
No, I agree, but you know, the starting five played 37, 38, 34, 32, 29, and then the next one is Hart at 21. So, and then there's a 6-minute gap between him and Shamit, so it's clearly still those six. But the minutes just got spread out differently tonight. And, you know, 21 minutes from Hart when you're playing the way you're playing, especially in that third quarter, that was basically when the text chain got to the point where it was like, this is just brutal. This is brutal. It's brutal.
So here's the question now. The Knicks built themselves to beat the Celtics, and they did. But obviously couldn't beat the Pacers. So now – the Knicks team has constructed now obviously can't beat Indiana, but what moves have to be made for this team in 2025, 2026?
Well, listen, First off, let's just put a caveat on that, and that is you built a team to beat the Celtics. You wound up beating the Celtics in spite of Porzingis being hurt the whole series, in spite of the fact that, you know, their best player goes down.
Yeah, but they were down 3-1 when he went down.
I was going to say
and Porzingis did play.
But I'm saying, but he goes down in game four. So you did beat it. Cleveland got eliminated by Indiana, who we thought was going to be the other big factor. You never even got a chance to play them because Indiana beat them.
So, they had more injuries than Boston, you know, actually.
Boston beat themselves, too. I mean, 25 for 100 the first two games from three.
Absolutely. And blowing 2 20-point leads.
Yeah.
As currently constructed, they need at least one shooter from somewhere. They have to get another shooter that can shoot the ball, that can play. You know, you're going to have to spread the minutes out again, and you're going to have to bring a shooter here that can, you know, score 20 a game, that you know is going to can come in and, you know, play 20 minutes and give you, you know, 10, 15 points. And I know those guys don't grow on trees, don't get me wrong, but to me, that's what I think they're missing, unless, and here it comes, unless you're dismantling this team.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask Kevin. Towns a guy you want on this team next year, Kev?
I still go with Towns. I think the problem is they shot their load last year with the trade for Bridges, giving up 5 firsts for Bridges, and he's proven to not be anywhere near worth it. That should have been the shooter. I mean, the 3-and-D guy that he was supposed to be, I didn't see any sort of great defense in this series. I mean, he did a good job near the end of the games on the turnover machine there for Boston.
Absolutely,
but you know, he was invisible in this Pacers series on defense, I thought.
So let me ask the question differently to both of you, and that is, do you want this team back? Let's just say, Kev, you find a way to put Bridges in a trade, and the contracts match, and you bring somebody else in, and you know this equals that, and whatever. Okay,
it's going to be Towns, not Bridges, if they're making the move. But I'm just being honest. I'm just the way the money's going to work at the years and stuff like that. No one's going to give you anything back for Bridges. It's going to be Towns or Brunson. That's the only people to go. And you know we're not giving away Brunson.
I don't think you can have this team with this coach. The simplest thing he's going to do is to change out the coach. You're going to have to bring in a coach here that, with the way the Knicks are built, they're going to have to be an offensive team. And you need to bring in an offensive coach. Tibbs is not an offensive coach.
They get nothing on their out of bounds. They get nothing inbound in the ball ever. They never seem to get what they want in half court scenarios.
Do they have the offensive players to be an offensive team, though?
I think so.
I mean, I didn't see it this series. I didn't see anybody that could come off the bench and who could chuck some threes. Well, anybody that can start on this
is a question, G. You're right.
Okay,
I don't know. I don't know if Tibbs actually gave the bench a chance to develop one of these guys.
Okay,
I mean, all year they played.
That's fair.
They were a 7-man rotation most of the year, and it's hard for these guys on the bench to actually do anything. I mean, you know, a guy like Tyler Kolek, can't Kolek come in and get some threes? I remember him being a pretty decent shooter in college.
Well, here's the question, though.
I have to agree with you because we didn't see it, so I don't know the answer.
Yeah,
is McBride a guy that you think can be a factor on this team?
No, because of the position he plays.
Okay.
Because there's going to be the only minutes he's going to get is when you're sitting Brunson, basically. That's basically what we saw.
Really well together, in my opinion. They're just a little short.
Yeah, but how much time a game can you play those two together? If that's the plan.
During the season, depends on the opponent. Well, during the regular season, it's a different story.
Is Shamet a guy that could carve out a role on this team?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I mean, but that's what we have to find out.
You know,
the thing about the team with the limited rotation is you were playing the five plus Robinson, then you made Hart the six. Okay, the seventh guy became McBride. And everybody else beyond that, whether it be Achua or whether it be Shamet or Shaman, I'm sorry, or whether it be DeLon Wright or whether it be Kolek or whether it be you know, what's-his-face Payne. We saw them so infrequently that you didn't really get an opportunity to see if they could be a factor.
Well, yeah. let's forget about the other guys for the moment. You're starting six. Do you want those six back? Or do you want to change somebody out? Let's say you make the salaries match. Do you want to change somebody out?
I mean, well, listen, the reality is if you can find a way in the magical way of getting Giannis in exchange. No, just listen to me. With Towns and other pieces and other teams involved, because Milwaukee may not be able to keep him. And he might want to push his way here because the NBA is the only sport where the guy actually pushes his way to the exact city he wants. And if he chooses the Knicks, they'll find a way.
I agree with that.
I can't argue with that.
But you see, I can't argue with that because if you have a chance to bring him here, you have to, right? But forget about that. I mean, the starting six, do you want to change somebody out? I mean, that's what it really comes down to.
I don't see how they do it. I don't think they have the picks to do it, whether we want it or not.
Forget about the contract. Do you want to change one of these guys out?
Yeah, honestly, my guy would be McBride. Bridges.
Okay, so somebody in the West has a player that makes the – I'm giving you an example. Somebody in the West has a guy who makes the exact same money as Bridges. They're willing to trade it. I'm going to trade you my problem guy for your problem guy, straight up. Salaries match. There's nothing else involved. Do you want to change one of these six up?
Yeah.
Barron?
You know, as sad as it is, because I like him a lot, it would probably be Hart just because he's so limited in what he could do. I mean, open shot after open. Unless I find out that he was playing with a torn rotator cuff this entire series or something like that. I'm just being honest because these guys probably don't announce it when they're hurt. We'll hear about everybody's injuries at the end. You know, unless you're LeBron, where you know they talk about it the entire series, he just doesn't offer enough offensively. They could leave him over. I mean, if I have to hear, you know, Miller and Van Gundy talk about leaving McConnell, they're leaving on purpose. They want him to take that shot. They're begging him to shoot it, and he hit a couple. He missed more than he hit. Yeah, I mean, but you have to sit here and listen to these two morons. And listen, I respect that Reggie's a pacer. Man, Gundy's a moron. And just listening to these guys talk about it and actively rooting for no flagrants on the Pacers and actively rooting. How are you supposed to drive to the basket without having a leg in front of you? I don't understand how you're supposed to get lift. I mean, are you supposed to pull your knee back so that you strain it when you land? I mean,
oh, that's an offensive foul. No, it's not.
I mean, these guys are morons. They're just flat morons.
If it wasn't for his last name, he's a far worse coach than his brother. He's a far worse announcer than his brother.
Yeah. I mean, he's unlistenable. He's flat out unlistenable. But the thing is that Hart offers the least. He's a gritty guy that gives you boards. He's a gritty guy that will push and get a couple of layups for you. He's a glue kind of guy, but when you're this close and you're short a scorer, they could just leave this guy open. You saw at the end of the third quarter, they left him open. He missed everything. I mean, he doesn't come close on these threes, and he has no confidence either.
All right, let's play it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can change those six contract-wise. That's what it comes down to. You're in the offseason. What else can they do to change this team up?
It's the coach. You can listen. You can go out there, and I think Shamit's a guy that you have to give an opportunity to. Okay, I think McBride's a guy you got to keep on there, and I think Kolek's a guy you want to hold on to. Right? When I look at this team after the top six, those are the 7, 8, and 9 that to me, I wouldn't say a guaranteed spots, but they're as close as you're going to get. Right? Now, what you have to do is use your second round picks and creative free agency and your exceptions and everything else that you might have and try to, you know, you want to just try to find length and people that can hit the open three. I mean, you just have to sit there and see if you could get someone that's in the back of a rotation of a good team. So maybe you find a team like OKC that's got a guy sitting there playing 8th and 9th minutes and you could say, hey, listen, you'll be my 6th-minute guy. You know, you'll be my first guy off the bench. And if you're good enough, you could start over Bridges. If you're good enough, you can start over Hart. If you're good enough, you can start over Robinson, whatever it may be. But you have to go for a really strong team that's just got a guy buried or a good player that's behind the team's best player. And that's really all you can do. Try to get out that exception and see if you can finagle a way to get just a little bit more depth. But the thing is, with the head coach you have, and it sounds like, you know, it's not fair to Tibbs because Tibbs has done an excellent job here, okay? He took a Moorbound program down to the playoffs 4 or 5 years. He's built this team up really well. Moved to the next level, okay?
Yeah.
Got to the first round, second round, third round now. You know, I mean, he's done everything we've asked in that respect. But the fact is, as Kevin pointed out so eloquently, this is an offensive team with a defensive coach. And it's an offensive team that struggles and gets caught up in the half court because he doesn't have the creativity in his drawing up of plays. And he doesn't have the, I don't know, it just seems like Carlisle had his players spaced better.
Yeah.
And the Knicks arguably had the two best offensive players there. But the Pacers probably had 3 through 7. And then the Knicks, well, 3 through 6. I won't put Turner up there. And then comes Anunoby and Bridges before Turner. But, I mean, it just seemed like they spaced their other four guys so much better. And it seemed like the Knicks couldn't answer it. Really, the only way the Knicks won was when their defense played really well. But it's not a defensive team. And when did they come back? They came back with all the bench guys in game three. And in game five, they got out to that quick start after I made that, you know, genius statement of this team never plays well from ahead. They came out with that really quick start and, you know, and they never, you know, in the end, it didn't even look like they were trying in that game. Outside of Siakam, nobody showed up.
Yeah.
And now it's, now in game six, you know, the pace was fast from the get-go, but they weren't hitting shots until late in the second quarter. And then all of a sudden the third quarter, you know, you go from 58 to 92 and it's over. You know, you put up 30, you know, you put up 34 in the third, and any chance you have of keeping the game under 110 is over. 112 was my number. Reggie had 110. Same thing. I mean, but it didn't matter. They scored 125.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They got knocked out at game six of the Eastern Conference Finals. Kev, lessons you learned about the Knicks.
There's a limit to this team. They hit their ceiling. Boy, we'd be talking about a lot of different things tonight if it wasn't for game one.
I completely agree. I said it the last time. It is such a bad loss that it just lingers, even as we are talking about the end of game six.
Well,
the series would be 3-3. We would have went into a 3-2 saying, hey, listen, even if we don't win game six on the road, they got to come back to the Garden to beat us. Didn't happen. They blew a game that no team had ever done before, you know?
Yeah. Lesson learned about the Knicks.
This team has only had 1 year to gel together. We all really jump in the gun. This is the first year that Towns is here, first year that Bridges is here. These are two huge factors for this team to play with Brunson and Anunoby. We might be jumping off a cliff a little too early. The team might actually gel a little bit better in the offseason and get a little bit stronger. Don't know, because watching Bridges on these pick and rolls, I mean, not Bridges, Towns on these pick and rolls, it's just brutal. I mean, I know Halliburton's hitting the shots, but they're 10-foot floaters, 12-foot floaters. You know, me and Kev have a shot at hitting 40% of those.
All right.
I mean,
because 30 for me.
Because the Knicks were in this, I think all three of us paid a little bit more attention to the playoffs than we normally do. A little bit more.
Listen, okay? I hate this. I hate the way this sport
is. Are you ready? Here it comes. You ready? Yeah. Darren, I'll start with you. Tell me what you learned about the NBA in these playoffs.
That the officiating is horrible. The announcers that they use during the games are horrendous. I don't know what a foul is anymore. You know, as much as I pick on the NBA, one thing I have to say, and it's fact, the players are more talented than they were in the era that I enjoyed watching it, okay? Everybody can shoot. Everybody can hit open threes. I just don't enjoy the brand of basketball. It's just not that much fun for me. I like games where there is a little bit more strategy than run to an open spot on a layup. As I go into the paint, I'm going to kick it to you for a three rather than taking an easy two. It drives me nuts.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How do you step out of bounds there?
Kevin, listen, things you learned about the NBA in these playoffs.
Besides parroting what Darren said?
Yeah, anything else?
I miss having Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson calling the games.
So, I miss Clyde.
I mean, here it comes. Here it comes for me. You ready?
Yep.
These games are brutal to watch.
Yeah.
If you don't have a rooting interest in your team, on the whole, these games are brutal to watch. Guys just chuck in 50 and 60 threes a game. Each team, not total, okay? Not total per team. It's a brutal game to watch. Coming down on fast breaks and just chucking it to the corner. You got 2-on-1s. All you got to do is just lay the ball in. There's nobody there, and you're chucking it to the side, to the corner. I mean, even tonight, they threw up, between the two teams, 65 threes. It's brutal.
Yeah.
Darren?
The only point I'm gonna ask you both. I'll start with you, Gino, because it's more fun asking you. NBA Finals, what are the odds that you, like me probably, will watch the first few minutes of the game, get disgusted, and if the game is close, turn it back late?
Probably minuscule, because if I spend 3 minutes on any of these games, I think it's going to be a lot.
Kev?
Maybe get a sense early, but for the most part, it's going to be check in the fourth quarter to see how close the game is and see if I want to watch the last 5 or 6 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm probably going to be there to start the game.
Good point, Kev.
I'm probably going to be there to start the game. And if the game is competitive, I will put it on in the last 5 minutes or 4 minutes to see who wins. But I have no interest in watching these two teams.
I can't watch them back and forth.
And this is going to be – and OKC plays real defense. I mean, this is not a team – I saw a quote from Pitino just to make you guys laugh. So Pitino said, in 40 years of coaching, I have never, ever watched NBA defense with my team. Until this year, we were watching OKC 2 to 3 times a week.
Wow.
Pitino.
That's impressive.
It is. He goes, we've talked about offense and isolations, and I've made my team watch that. I've never shown NBA defense to my teams in 40 years. But OKC, we were watching a couple times a week. And you know what? You said it too, Kevin. You said it during the year that they do play good D. And what I saw against Minnesota, for the most part, it looked like they were kind of stifling and suffocating. Listen, these are two teams that are really going to try to play fast paced. They're really going to shoot the lights out. If we think we saw a lot of threes tonight, Gino.
We're
going to see closer to 70 to 75 in this series per game, which is like, I don't know. It's just not exciting. It's just not fun to me. No, I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. You know, the Pacers push the pace, no pun intended. They picked up Brunson full court, I think, to wear down Brunson. OKC picks up full court because they've got athletes who can run full court and will pressure you from one end to the other. Not so much to wear down an individual, but because that's the way they want to play. You know, the little subtle difference there. And, you know, I think they generate so much of their offense through their defense. The Pacers push the play because they want to speed the game up. They don't care if they pick you up a little bit full court and you're able to beat them down the court at times, because they want to pick it up offensively. OKC wants to pick it up defensively to generate offense.
And the one thing I see watching Indiana, I mean, I don't know if Siakam's going to have the mismatches he had in this series.
Yep.
And Towns gave Indiana fits. Holmgren 7'4", and probably more athletic. I don't know if Indiana's going to have an answer for him, but we'll find out, I guess. But yep. Listen, it was a fine Knicks season. It was not a bad Knicks season by any way. The thing that stands out is the last game that they played, the defense didn't show up, and the first game of the series, which they should have won, would have had the series 3-3 going to a Game 7 Monday night at the Garden. Doesn't happen that way. The Knicks fall short. That's really what it comes down to. Any closing points before we wrap up the postmortem of the New York Knicks season?
Scale of 1 to 10, how good was their season?
I got to give it an 8. They moved up. Just disappointed.
The way they lost the series, it's a 7. If you said before the season they were going to lose to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 6, it would be a 9.
Yeah, I was going to say 8.5. I mean, you got me to Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And honestly, in the playoffs, other than blowing that Game 1, it was a good playoff run. You beat Detroit. Yeah, you beat Boston. You know, it's a shame it had to end like this, though, I will tell you.
Yeah, the one thing that's funny is Cleveland's going to be healthier next year. Boston will have most of that. Well, we don't know about Tatum. We'll find out.
Yeah, Tatum will be back. Well,
Boston will probably take a step back, but Cleveland will be better. Detroit's going to be better.
Yep.
Indiana's going to still be good.
Milwaukee, we don't know because of Giannis.
You have no idea.
Philly, we don't know because Embiid's always hurt, and they just seem like a team that's just in flux.
Banchero, if they can get someone to race with him in Orlando, they could become dangerous as well because he's a really good player. I mean, Miami, you know, they got rid of Butler. They could get younger. They could start to show increase in improvement too. Nets have 3 first-round picks, probably not next year, but going forward, they have a real shot. I mean, the thing is that the window's not that long for this team. Where do they have to go next year for it to be a successful year, Kev?
Well, I think next year, this roster is still top 4 Eastern Conference. No doubt about it. And, you know, you've made the little progressions every year. It's now finals or bust for this team. Nothing's going to be satisfactory until they reach the finals.
Jake?
They have to get back to the Eastern Conference. They have to get back to the Eastern Conference finals, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay, well, here's the question. If they lose to Indiana again in the Eastern Conference finals, is it successful or no?
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay. I don't think so. If they lost to Cleveland, maybe, but if they lose, they have to get the Indiana Albatross off their back now. It's 2 years in a row, Indiana's knocked them out.
It's a fair point. I hear it. I understand it. If you tell me to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose, I think I'm going to have to tell you it was a good season.
All right. Any other closing points, boys?
That's it for me.
That's it.
All right. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Darren here with Gino, here with Kevin, talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where I may never have to listen to Stan Van Gundy's voice again. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify. Tune in, whatever you like. You know, we post on social. Like, share. Even if you don't like it, share it anyway. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.